path to salvation. And in that series of messages, today is part six, is the last of the series. And we've been discussing and looking at Jesus' way to the cross, to the grave, and to victory. Not take time to go back and rehearse all the previous messages. You can hear those on our website or iTunes, and you can find those. And what a joy it has been to see God preparing a path for us. And as we follow His GPS, today we come to the conclusion. If you'll locate in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28 this morning. And today we'll conclude our series. This being Easter Sunday, it's always a joy to have many folks, guests, and family who are here. It's good to see folks come from other places. It's good to see Sharon Davenport. Sister Sharon's been out. She's been sick. Well, hey, Miss Sharon, I'm glad you got to be here today, and I'm glad she's here, and so many other special friends that are here, part of our church family, and you're visiting with your families today, and we're glad that you're here. I got a special surprise during the share time. Kathy Adams and her grandson, Ethan, Ethan lives in North Carolina, now moves in the great town of Denver, North Carolina. Amen. That's where I'm from. And that's where he and his family live. I led Ethan to the Lord at the Billy Graham Library on one of our Christmas trips. And I had the privilege to lead him to Christ and baptized him that next Easter. I guess that's been 2 years ago now. I had a cat 2 years ago. And Ethan's here. He brought me a card. And it's good to see him. And do you tell your family I said hello, Ethan. God bless you for being here. And so many other special folks, and some other folks couldn't be here today. I know that some folks are sick, and some folks are still on spring break and all that kind of thing. But I'll have more to say here at the end in just a little bit, but it is a joy to welcome you here this morning. As we have followed God's path to salvation, we have learned that many people in this world don't know where they're going. And they don't know what Christ has already done for them, what the penalty that's been paid for them. But there's something we're going to learn this morning as we come to the conclusion of this series and what this all means together this morning. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 1. I invite you to stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. And we'll read down through verse 8 this morning. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which is crucified. And here's the words that change history. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord laid. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Would you one more time bow with me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, it is a joy to stand before this congregation on this Easter Sunday. It has been my privilege for nearly 16 and a half years to each and every week open the Word of God, and preach and teach the blessed truths. I thank you, Lord, for all that you have allowed me to be a part of and to enjoy and to see your mighty hand at work in this place. And Father, on this day, Lord, there's so many thoughts and emotions, but for the next few moments, Lord, we want to put all that aside. We want to concentrate on the most important thing today, and that is the story of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. How it changes lives, how it changes history. So Lord, today I pray that if there's one here this morning that if they've never accepted you as Savior, if they're not sure today that if they died, they'd go to heaven, I pray on this Easter Sunday, the greatest thing would happen in their life, that they would accept you for their Lord and Savior and be saved today. I pray for every Christian that's under the sound of my voice, that you'll work in their hearts and lives and draw them closer to you, and whatever we need to do to be right with you today, may this Easter Sunday be the day of a dawning of a new day, new opportunities, and a new relationship. Father, I pray that whatever needs to be done today will be accomplished, and we give you praise, honor, and glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said,
amen. Amen.
You may be seated. As we've talked about GPS, and we've talked about the importance of following directions and following the right path, by way of introduction this morning, just want to share with you that as we approach this scripture today, many people in this world do not know that the victory that Jesus has won for them. They do not know that they do not have to live in defeat anymore. They do not know that Christ has already won the battle, has already won the war. And because of the fact that they do not know, it should behoove us and should inspire us and challenge us to do everything possible that we could share the message of the good news, share the message of the gospel, share that they do not have to live a life of defeat and drudgery, but they can live a life that brings honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. That as the song, as we opened the service this morning, my favorite hymn says, "Victory in Jesus." We can have that this morning. You don't have to live and follow the devil's lies. You do not have to give in to culture. You do not have to give in to those things because of what Christ did on the cross, because he was raised from the dead. You can have victory in every single area of your life today. You don't have to live like everybody else. You don't have to live in a state of depression and defeat. You can live in victory. And so what does that mean? That means that this morning as we come to Easter, on this Easter Sunday, as we celebrate his resurrection, it's often been said that every Sunday is really Easter Sunday. Because that's why we meet on the Lord's Day. That's why we meet on the first day of the week. As the early church began to make that change, as they began to gather for worship on the first day of the week to celebrate his resurrection. So in a real way, every Sunday is Easter Sunday. So next Sunday, you can show up at 7 o'clock again for sunrise service. I won't be here, but somebody else will. But isn't it wonderful that once a year we can do that? It's the only time that we can get people to show up at 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning at church. And what a great crowd we had this morning. That was wonderful. But what is it about Easter? What is it about the resurrection? As God's path to salvation has brought us, and we saw last week as Jesus was laid in that tomb, and as his body was prepared, and as they left that grave and walked away, not one single person expected anything any different 3 days later. In fact, I shared in the sunrise service this morning that as the women made their way to the tomb very early, they came expecting to find a dead body. They brought spices and ointments. They were expecting to see a dead corpse. They did not expect what they found. And I think one of the tragedies of the Christian life is that we do not expect God to do the impossible. We go along life and we just go along and try to figure it out our own way. And we
in just a minute. But we can come today because of the resurrection, because of the empty tomb, and we can have the victory that's been accomplished through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you three things this morning that causes us to realize that as we follow God's path to salvation, as we follow His GPS, what that leads us to grasp this morning. And as we move through Easter Sunday and beyond, what is it that helps us in the days ahead? Notice number one. Because of Easter and the resurrection and the empty tomb, trials now become blessings. Trials now become blessings. Jesus had to go to a cross. He had to suffer and die. He had to give His life as a sacrifice. And there had to be a cross before there could be an empty tomb. There had to be suffering before there was resurrection. And the trials that we go through in our lives as believers, and the things that God allows to happen in our lives, are things that God is trying to teach us things, mold us and make us to be the men and women of God He wants us to be. What kind of life would it be if we just had no problems? Oh, we'd love that, wouldn't we? No issues, no circumstances, no health problems, no financial needs, and no problems in relationships. If everything was as a country music song, of a bed of roses, and wouldn't it be wonderful? But wait a minute. Would we really depend on God every day? Probably not. Would we trust God to make it through? But the trials become blessings. It's through the trials that we learn what God is accomplishing in our lives. It's through trials that we realize and see the power of God. We see the miraculous things of God. We see difficulties that turn into... You see throughout Jesus' ministry, those folks that He made a difference in their lives. Folks who were blind and deaf. Families who had lost loved ones and buried a loved one in a grave. There were those that were crippled. There were those that had blood disease. There were those whose relationships were falling apart. There were people who had no hope, no direction, nothing in their life. But when Jesus came and He helped them, He turned those trials into blessings. I can't claim to understand every trial that we go through. I wish that there was some magic class that they would give us in seminary that I could stand here every Sunday morning and say, okay, this is what God's doing in your life. I don't have that capability. Neither does anyone else. But the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit will guide you and direct you and lead you. And as you walk through those trials and those things, then you begin to look back as you come through those things. You look back and see God is accomplishing things that wouldn't have been able to accomplish if He hadn't been through the trials. If He hadn't been through the valleys. If you hadn't been through the difficulties. What people saw on a cross was a trial. Jesus was saying, hey, get ready for the blessing because it's coming. Get ready to understand that I'm trying to accomplish things that you don't realize now. These women, these disciples, were not expecting a resurrected Lord on Easter Sunday. They were still expecting to go to the grave and pay their respects. But because now Jesus is alive, because there's a resurrection, your trials now become blessings. Notice number two. Not only that, but notice that now because of the resurrection, because of an empty tomb, defeat becomes victory. Defeat becomes victory. Those standing around on Calvary on that Friday probably were saying, well, that Jesus was a loser. Well, all those guys following Him, man, what are they going to do now? It's over. They've gotten rid of their leader and there's nothing to do now. And what looked like a defeat was all in actuality a victory because Jesus had declared on the cross, it is finished. The victor's cry, tetelestai. It was one that declared that the payment had been made in full. It was one that the judge and the ruling body would give to an athlete as he crossed the finish line, declaring them the winner of the race. Tetelestai was what Jesus said. It is finished. I've won the victory. So what looked like defeat was actuality a victory. This was the plan of God. Yet, there were people like Peter who throughout the time of Jesus' trial, from the upper room until they through the Garden of Gethsemane, he was able to see and experience the heart of the Savior. But when it came time to stand as a true follower of God, he failed. And Jesus told him, before this night is over, you'll deny me three times. And he did. And he walked away in bitterness and defeat. And we think, well, we'll never see Peter anymore. That'll be it for old Peter. But we find that one of the gospel writers tells us that at the tomb, the women were told, go tell the disciples, and by the way, tell Peter that Jesus is alive. Why specifically Peter? If there was anybody who needed to know that Jesus was alive, it was Peter. The self-proclaimed, the outgoing leader of the group had failed publicly and miserably. And his life looked like it was destined to go back to the fishing boats on the Sea of Galilee. But God had other plans. And when Peter runs to the tomb, and he and John race to the tomb, and he goes in, he finds that Jesus is no longer dead. Peter begins to realize victory is possible. Victory is possible. Listen, every single one of us will fail God sometime or another. Every one of us will fall short in some area of our life. Some of us, more than once, more than many times, we'll do it over and over. Some of us are hard-headed, stubborn, no punching anybody next to you, okay? But some of us, it takes a while to grasp what God's trying to do. And we fail. But your defeat doesn't have to stay defeat. Because Jesus is alive, because there's a resurrection, and because there's an empty tomb, that is assurance today that your defeat can become victory. Because it is no longer a life of drudgery and disappointment. Because when Jesus walked out of that tomb, I believe one of the people he couldn't wait to see was old Peter. And when Peter and Jesus got together on that seaside breakfast, Sea of Galilee, just a few days later, and they got together and Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Oh yeah, I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? I said, oh yeah, I said, feed my lambs. One more time, Peter, do you really love me? Peter just, by this time, he said, Lord, you know I love you. And he said, feed my sheep. It's often said, I believe he asked Peter three times that he loved him because he had denied him three times. And he did it in front of the disciples to restore him. And it was 40 days later that this same Peter stood on the day of Pentecost and preached the gospel of the grace of God. And 3,000 people were saved and the church was born. And if there was ever anyone we could look to that we could follow, says, you know, if God can get a hold of Peter and change him from a defeated, discouraged, denying disciple to a powerful preacher of the word, imagine what he could do in your life if you let him. You don't have to stay defeated. The defeat becomes victory because there's an empty grave. So whatever it is you've been struggling with, whatever that thing that you just can't get past, whatever it is that the devil keeps throwing at you and you keep struggling, you can't get past it, and it goes over and over and it's bringing you down. Listen, go to the empty tomb. Realize that Jesus is alive and just stick your tongue out at the devil and say, yeah. That's in the Greek right there somewhere, Scott. That's that literal translation there. Just look at the devil and say, you know what? I don't have to live in your garbage anymore. I can live in victory. Tetelestai. It's victory this morning. But there's one more thing that the empty grave, the tomb, and the gives us this morning. God's plan of salvation, that reminds us, number three, that this world becomes temporary. This world becomes temporary because of the resurrection. Up until this time, there was some talk about the afterlife, and there was some teaching of that, but no real clear, hopeful preaching and teaching of that till after Easter Sunday. After Jesus rose from the dead, the preaching of the early church and the apostles focus on Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection and soon return to take us home. It is the resurrection that reminds us that all of this world and all the things we deal with, and all the things we go through, it's temporary at its very best. Everything will pass away except what's done for the Lord. When Jesus got up out of that grave, when He conquered death, when He conquered hell, when He conquered the grave, He was giving hope and promise to every child of God that there is something greater beyond this life. That in our time of following Christ, only what's done for Him will last. Everything else will pass away. And when we have those moments when we have to lay our loved one's body in a grave, we can stand there because of the resurrection Sunday and say, this is just temporary. This is just temporary. When we stand at a hospital, the doctor comes in and gives a diagnosis that we didn't want to hear or didn't want to expect, we could look up to heaven and say, it's just temporary. Because one of these days, God's going to come and call us home. That's what Jesus meant in John 14 when He told His disciples in the upper room, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again. I'll receive you to Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You see, all that we have around here, don't get attached to it too much. Don't get so attached to the things of this world, because they're not going to last. I'm glad to know that this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And the angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. That's because of the empty tomb. Because of Resurrection Sunday. This world is just temporary. We have the hope and promise heaven. That's our home. That's home. There's something about those GPS devices. And Brother Mark Carvel, you and I talked about this several weeks ago. I've been saving it for this moment right now. On those GPS devices in your car, those Garmins that you buy to carry with you, or even on your smartphones and your Google Maps, usually all of them have a special button somewhere that says home. No matter where you are, you could press that button and it'll give you directions how to get home. Right? You know where I'm going, don't you? Oh, man. God's GPS has a special button. It's called heaven. That's our home. And if you want to know how to follow Christ and to end up in the right place, you just push the button of the Holy Word of God, and it'll tell you everything you need to know how to get home. Because when you push that, it begins to tell you. And sometimes you may be going somewhere, and it says you need to turn around. so that you can head home. Boy, I tell you what, one of these days, we're heading home. One of these days, we're going to be ushered into our new home. I stood beside Brother Theo Gossett's family this past week. We stood by the grave and planted his body into the ground, and knowing that the hope of the resurrection promises us that this is just temporary. But Theo, and like our other loved ones who've gone on before, they're not in that casket. They're not in that ground. They're in the presence of the Lord. They're home. They're home. Oh, I'm glad today to know I'm headed home. And I don't know when that will be. None of us have any promise of tomorrow. We do not know, but I do know this. We'll go home when Jesus gets our mansion ready. When He's finished preparing and putting the final touches, He'll send His holy escort, says, I want you to go get Him now. He's ready to move in. Oh, what a day that will be when we get to move in and we get to come home. So as I conclude this morning, God's path to salvation, His GPS, it's all possible, all because of His amazing grace. It's amazing grace this morning that makes it possible. It is because of the grace of God that we're able to stand here on Easter Sunday and we can sing the praises, sing the worship. And we do not know what the future may hold for any of us. We do not know all the details of our lives, and that's a good thing. Because sometimes if we knew it all, it'd probably scare us to death if we knew what God's got waiting for us down the road. But I tell you this, you can trust Him by faith. You can walk by faith and trust Him every single step of the way. Because there's an empty tomb, trials become blessings. Because of an empty tomb, defeat becomes victory. Because of an empty tomb, this world becomes temporary. We're going to our eternal home one day. My question to you is, are you ready? Are you ready to go home? Would you bow with me in prayer? Every head bowed and every eye closed. This morning, I give the final invitation as your pastor. I stand before you and ask you to search your life of where you stand with God. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've come from. It doesn't matter your station in life. It doesn't matter if your church membership. The question to you this morning is this. Do you know for sure that if you died today, that you go to heaven? You can know. There's a 100% guarantee by God, made possible through His path to salvation that took Jesus to the cross, rose from the dead, to secure your eternal salvation. All you have to simply do, trust Him. Acknowledge that you're a sinner. Acknowledge that Jesus is your only hope of heaven, and ask Him to forgive you of your sin. Invite Him into your life as your Savior. If you need to make that decision on this Easter Sunday, our deacons will be here at the front. Others will be here to pray with you and help you. If that is your need this morning, I encourage you, I challenge you, I beg you, don't leave here today lost. Make sure you know you're saved. But there are many people I'm speaking to this morning who are saved. If you died today, you know you go to heaven. But how many people are you going to take with you? How faithful are you in sharing your faith, sharing the gospel? How obedient are you in your walk with God and service in His church and ministering to those that are in need? You've allowed circumstances and situations in your life to derail you and distract you. And you're not as close to the Lord as you once were, and you know it. It's Easter. It's Resurrection Day. Today's the day to have a new beginning. Today's the day where the dawning of a new day begins. You can say, Lord, I'm sorry the areas I failed You, but starting now, I give it all to You. I trust you with everything. Whatever you need or want to do in my life, I'm yours. Folks, this is a day this church needs you. This is a day this community needs you to be the faithful men and women of God and members of this church to continue to reach this community with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever it is you need to do to be right with God today, we're going to sing a great old hymn in just a moment. And after I pray, we're going to stand. Our deacons will come. Jeannie will lead us. Let God do a great work in your life this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, speak to every heart and every life. Draw us close to you and let us do what we need to do to be right with you on this day. Let us not leave here till we're ready. This I pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. Amen. We're going to stand.